You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
We did have an interview over a year ago with Joe from As You Are Bar, and her big thing was like not letting people finger each other on the dance floor. Why not? Jess is like, please, Carolyn, stop talking about
I gotta take control of this. Aside.
I'm ducking out, you're ducking out. Let's duck out together. See what it's all about.
Ducking out, ducking out, ducking out.
Hi, and welcome to Diking Out, a podcast that's like Cherry Grove, but thankfully way more sapphic. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're diking out with podcaster Jess Rothschild.
I know her. Yeah, funny. We were just hanging out with her. Couple of announcements. Loves a Pitch coming back to Come On Everybody on September 17th. Also, we're going to be at Stonewall October 10th, Monday, October 10th. It's a new time of the month for us. Melody's going to be in LA.
Mm-hmm. Check the Instagram. I will make my quarterly social media post highlighting those shows very soon.
At Melody Kamali is the best way to be in the know on when those shows are happening. And also, maybe we'll see you at Dinah Shore. If you see us walking around Dinah Shore, say hi.
Yeah, we'll be there the whole time.
Yeah, the entire time.
Do you know what I mean by that? The whole time. Okay. You could cut that out. You're looking scared. It's Miss Doubtfire.
What? I've seen Miss Doubtfire so many times. I don't.
When Sally Field is like, the whole time.
Oh, yes. Okay. Keep that in. That was good. Keep it in.
Yep. I do it every time someone says the whole time. So.
Well, Melody.
Yes.
Don't ask me what my gayest thing is, because I say it when we talk to Jess, and nothing is going to be gayer than that.
I think I say it too.
Yeah. Okay. We say our gayest things in the episode. We're saving them for that conversation. What we're going to talk about instead is, what is Fire Island? Because that's what our whole conversation is about. We mention it a lot on this podcast, but there are a lot of new listeners. There are a lot of people who don't live here, who it's not at the forefront of their mind and might not know. They maybe have not seen the Hulu movie featuring Joel Kim Booster and Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers and don't know what we're talking about. That's a good primer from the gay boy side of things, if you're interested.
Yeah, they don't really explore the culture of the lesbian side, because Margaret Cho's character famously can't go back to Cherry Grove, has a house on the Pines. What was the reason again? It was like
something. That's the only time they mention it, though. But Fire Island is a Long Island that's south of Long Island, and
yes,
there are various parts of it, but there are two parts that gay people venture to. It's a gaycation destination, and that is Cherry Grove and the Pines. And mm-hmm. the Pines is mostly gay men. Cherry Grove is more mixed. We'll get into that. You have to take a ferry there. You can't have a car on the island. It's very small, which leads me into... So can I just preface this and saying this episode, I am on vacation, drinking wine. I'm a little bit all over the place. I've had...
Can I say something too? I had a few drinks before this recording because I had just come from the beach because Ever's in town.
I saw on Instagram you drinking nutcrackers at Reese Beach. And I'm like, did Melody do that recording after drinking nutcrackers?
On the beach in the sun, yes. Not plural. One hard kombucha, one nutcracker, and a beer while we recorded. Because I was if Carolyn's on vacation mode for this one, why not me?
Thankfully, we had a professional, Jess Rothschild, keeping us in check, trying to keep us on the rails during this interview.
Yeah, this one's a doozy. Carolyn is drunk, angry dyke mode.
I wasn't drunk, but I'm playing a character, okay. Let's say. Cecilia kept saying, when I was making these comments, she kept saying, I can't tell if you're in character or not. And I'm like, me neither. It's morphing.
Yeah.
It's like, am I Mrs. Doubtfire or am I Robin Williams? I don't know. At this point, the two are the same. But Jess asked me a couple of times why I say that now I like Cherry Grove over P-Town. And I don't quite articulate it right. And then once I was leaving, I was like, I know what it is. It's that Cherry Grove feels like being at a resort. But instead of one hotel, like owning all the places, it's like, oh, there are different places to stay within this resort. But we all go to the same beach. We all eat at the same three restaurants.
Yeah.
Overpriced restaurants, you know, we all have like two options for entertainment. So it's very much like staying at a resort where, again, your options are limited.
Feels like one.
Yeah.
But doesn't look like one.
Doesn't look like one at all. But in P-Town, it's like almost like there are a bunch of things going on. I mean, not like that there's a ton going on in P-Town, but that sometimes you just like miss out. Like my first two times there, all my times there, I never went to a drag show or anything like that. But if that was like the one thing to do was to go to the drag show, then I would do it, you know? And that's the thing about Cherry Grove, because then like everybody is going to the same stuff. So that's why when I met, you know, Richard and Quentin at Sweet Licks, that we were like, oh yeah, the prosciutto bread, head of lettuce. Like it all comes, we can all talk about the same things because mm-hmm. we're all experiencing the same thing. So that's what I like about it. And that's why it feels, and then you're seeing the same people more often. Like we kept seeing the same lesbian couple every day and being seated like two tables away from them and never talking to them. But you don't get that in P-Town.
It's just, it's a magical place. It really is. And I didn't get to, I don't think, get that across how much I love it, how there's no place like it on earth.
Yeah, you say it's a magical place. And then there were these gay boys that were walking past us and they're like, you know, they make it seem like this is supposed to be a magical place.
Oh, yeah.
And I just said, leave.
Leave.
Leave. If you're going to complain, go to the Pines. Get out of Cherry Grove. All right.
Go to Ocean Beach.
I'm getting back into the mindset that I was when we had this interview, so we might as well get into it. Jess Rothschild, past guest of the podcast, Reality Dykes episode, is the host of Hot Takes and Deep Dives, which is another podcast where she interviews all of our favorite lesbians, reality TV stars, and more. Let's do it. Jess, long time no see.
I know.
How you been?
How have you been?
I'm missing it. I'm missing the island.
I'm not going to lie. I was already pulling up the calendar for next year and like eyeing some dates. I think I want to go for July 4th for the invasion, in addition to our other plants that we discussed.
The invasion.
Oh, you missed the invasion talk. We're going to have to get to the invasion. I'm already looking at Les Validates. Of course, the island that Melody is referring to is Fire Island, where the three of us were together earlier this week. And I'm still here. I'm still on the island one more night. But Jess, first, you're ready for it.
We have to know.
My gayest thing?
Yes, take it away.
So, well, obviously, not only is my gayest thing the fact that I was just on vacation in Cherry Grove with the hosts of Dyking Out, but it's that one of those nights we watched the classic 90s film, The Truth About Cats and Dogs. And during the watching of the movie, all we were talking about was how clearly the more attractive character is Janine Garofalo over Uma Thurman. That was the main focus of the conversation. Yes.
Pretty gay.
Wait, I'm going to have to stop you right there and say it's actually the fact that we only got 10 minutes into the movie.
Okay, I was going
to
say.
And we all stopped to do a new moon witchy ritual led by my wife. And honestly, that has to be the gayest thing for all three of us. There's nothing gayer that happened this week than the three of us, plus Cecilia, plus Allie, sitting on a deck surrounded by seashells, incense burning, candle lit under the new moon, writing down our intentions.
Tarot cards.
Yeah, pulling our cards.
Pulling cards.
It was amazing.
And then doing a closing little meditation. Which, Carolyn, you did not, you just got up. You're like, all right. You're fully gone. We're like, no, come back. We got to meditate. We got to close this out
right.
with a quick, you were, that you got what
yeah,
you needed.
Yeah, I was like, what was I doing? I was a little bit of a busybody. It's yeah. hard for me to sit still.
Yeah. Too many gay things to choose from. I mean.
Yeah. Truth About Cats and Dogs, though. Yes. Forever. Forever a mystery of who thought that that made sense. Actually, it's not a mystery. It's straight men. Okay.
I mean, I want to ask you so many questions. I mean, I guess.
You interview us.
Go ahead.
You're such a good interviewer.
I want to interview you about Fire Island. Yeah. Okay, because I'm from Long Island, so I've been going to Fire Island forever. Since my mid-20s, I've been doing day trips to Cherry Grove, and then as time went on, I started staying over. I have a lot of experience in both Cherry Grove and the Pines. So my number one question for both of you is, how would you compare and contrast your experience of Cherry Grove versus the Pines?
Wait, Carolyn. There was no Pines behavior when I was there. Did you make it?
Yes. So my last evening, we went to the Pines.
Okay.
And I know that you have experience in the Pines.
Last summer, I went to the Pines a few times.
So Melody, why don't you start? Like, how would you compare and contrast, just for people listening, the Pines versus Cherry Grove?
The Pines versus Cherry Grove, from what I have gathered, I mean, it took us seeing Hedda Lettuce, Fire Island mainstay, entertainer, drag queen, doing comedy about the difference between the two to make me fully realize that there is a stark difference, because it all came to me in that moment when we were seeing her perform, talk about how rich and manicured the Pines are.
But you didn't get that from just hanging out there?
No, because like I went to rowdy times when I'd go to the Pines and I like you go to tea. Right? In the Pines. And that's right off the dock. I would just go right into the party. And then you start drinking and it's a very, you know, it's a party. I didn't get to like walk around. So I would go straight into, I take the water taxi from Cherry Grove. And it's like, you really just step off the taxi onto the dock and then you're at Low Tea. So it took the second trip last summer to the Pines to realize, okay, we're dealing with mansions. I went to a pool party and it was tense. It was tense because it's like I didn't know the people. It was like the scene in the Fire Island movie when they go to a party when they feel really out of place. Like I kind of felt like that because, yeah, we didn't know the people and we were invited and I had invited some of my Pines boys who were there at the same time. And then I was responsible for bringing extra people, but I wasn't in with the inner circle. And then I could recognize that, like, we were using up their very good liquor and meats for the barbecue. And I just felt really uncomfortable. And at a certain point, the girl whose house it was, or she was renting it, was like, okay, who here knows someone? okay, so everyone else can leave. Like, it was like a very...
Wow.
But on our walk out of there, we all left together. We felt very uncomfortable. We walked back. So I got to like walk through the pines. We'd made the walk instead of taking the water taxi.
You mean you walked along the beach?
Yeah.
That's funny. We did that on our way back.
Yeah.
You did? The two of you?
Yeah, with Ceci.
And Cecilia, yeah.
I want to hear about your time. So yes, I love Cherry Grove, though. It's so cute. I love, it has so much character.
Yeah.
And more of a sense of community and a sense of humor about it. And
yep.
Everyone goes over from the Pines anyways to go for entertainment, for dining. I mean, it is a tiny island. There's is only so much. Isn't there like one restaurant? It feels like there's like one place to eat and one place to get food in the Pines.
One seated restaurant.
There's truly one seated restaurant. And then you can get food at the Pines Pantry or you can get food at the Canteen, which is like a grab and go place. But there's only one restaurant. And quite frankly, it's not good.
Okay. So, and also I remember being surprised that, I mean, had I gone to the Pines first, I would have been surprised coming to Cherry Grove, especially that I thought there would be just so many more women in Cherry Grove, because that's how it was pitched. It was like, this is the lesbian part, and the Pines is for the boys, you know? And I thought the girls and theys would be on Cherry Grove, and it is very male-dominated.
See, that's the thing. I think there is this misconception that, oh, the way in which the Pines is overrun by Hell's Kitchen gay boys, that's the way it is. It's like, oh, it must be overrun by, like, Park Slope lesbians. Where in reality, yeah, it's older gay guys, it's gay guys that are over the Pines, women, some straight people. It's a much more diverse.
Straight people, let's get into that. I was so surprised to learn that the house we stayed in was rented right before us by two straight couples. And
oh, I'll talk about them.
Yeah.
Is this the perfect opportunity to bring in Carolyn to rail against the straight people?
I have a lot of things to rail against. First,
I mean, you posted something on Dyking Out last night that was
hilarious,
full of attitude.
I loved it.
You're like, yeah, there it is. It's straight people, probably just men, wait. men.
And mind you, all of this having been said, we had the time of our lives. Like, we had the greatest time.
Oh yeah, I had a fabulous time.
Yes,
I love going to Fire Island, but Carolyn, hit it.
Okay. First, going to the Pines, like, have you seen that it's a short film with Kate Berlant and John Early called Rachel, and it's based on a real story where some random person goes to John Early's house party and they just all assume that somebody knows her, but nobody does. And she's like a disaster, like just really the behavior is insane. This is what I want to do at the Pines. I want to just slide into a party, pretend I should be there until I get kicked out. Pines versus Cherry Grove. The Pines sucks. It's fine. I don't know. It's like, okay, yeah, you want like fancy math? Like, we pull up and there's three yachts in the harbor. I'm like, what?
It's very rich.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I haven't been to like the Hamptons, or at least the fancy part of the Hamptons. Like, this is just all that same like modern style of architecture, like huge windows, minimalist interior design.
And we're seeing some of that pop up on the shore in Cherry Grove too.
A little bit of that at Cherry Grove.
So when we would walk past those, I was like, oh, it's starting to look like the Pines. Like,
right.
The oceanfront homes, the new modern construction in Cherry Grove, I noticed they are building those houses in that minimalist way.
Yeah, in that way. I think Cherry Grove is far more charming, far more friendly, far more cozy. There's something about the Pines that just felt kind of like stark. I don't know. It just felt like... Even like you have the dollhouse and Cherry Grove, like you have all these like cutesy little things going on.
And what is the dollhouse? If everyone wants to check that out on Instagram, it's the Cherry Grove dollhouse on, I think that's the @ on Instagram.
It's a bunch of Barbies
posing all over Cherry Grove.
They stick the lesbian Barbies on the horses, and then they have the Kens riding literal cocks. I mean, cocks being like roosters. But
What's a great follow?
And then there's like one, I think, bisexual Ken who's on a horse too, who's like trying it out. I like Cherry Grove better. If I came back, like, I can't imagine staying in the Pines unless I had a very like wealthy gay friend that invited me to go, then I would. I was surprised at, yes, like how many men are in Cherry Grove. It's still more lesbians than you get in P-Town. And I would say also it felt like a good range in age.
This is the follow-up to our P-Town episode where we were like, where are the lesbians?
Right.
Stay tuned. We're going to Fire Island. I'm sure we'll see them in Cherry Grove.
Nah.
I mean, I did see Wanda Sykes. So that how?
Okay, I'm the only one who didn't see Wanda Sykes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lie. There are lesbians.
Yeah. No, there are lesbians, but it's like there needs to be more. That's why I want to come during Les Volley Week. It's just like, men and straight people do not have enough space to take up in this world. It's like, oh, here's a nice calm place that the lesbians created. Jess, I know you're going to correct me. This isn't the history. I don't care. The lesbians created a very welcoming, charming space. And the gay guys are like, let's go.
They didn't. The lesbians did not.
They created it in my mind. And then the gay guys were like, okay, we're going to like take over and yell at you for not watering our tomato plants and like make you feel weird when you're tripping on mushrooms.
Okay. And that did happen.
This is a hilarious rewriting of history, but go on.
Yeah.
No, actually, yeah. The women created queer culture in general. They actually created the land that it exists on, let alone the structures and the economy of Fire Island.
Look, it's a lesbian who runs Cherries on the Bay, who's providing all this nourishment and entertainment. Mm-hmm. I will say I love the drag shows I went to, but also that's straight people bait.
There were some straight bachelorette parties.
Here's a good thing to focus on. Let's talk about the weekend versus the weekday.
Right. Oh, very different. No bachelorettes during the weekday. Yeah. Less straight people.
Tip number one, I would say start your trip on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. That way, a lot of that stuff is going to be gone by Sunday evening. Like, I love a Sunday evening, a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday on Fire Island, whether it be the Pines or Cherry Grove, particularly Cherry Grove, because by that point, it's the locals. You're getting Wanda Sykes. You're getting Michael Musto if he's there. You're getting the people that actually either they have shares or they literally own the homes.
Right.
So that would be tip number one. Can we talk about the dyke drama, the Jackie Donna dyke drama, the owners of Cherries?
Yeah.
What's the
just the fact that it's owned by these two lesbians who are married and then split up.
Yeah. And they look the same.
They look like twins. They're lesbian twins. And they both still work. I think they're still both part owners. It doesn't matter. Either way, one of them was cleaning tables. Like I love that example you gave of the Waffle House. What was that?
Yes. Well, at the Waffle House, it doesn't matter. Like everybody who works at Waffle House, even corporate, you have to at least spend time working in the restaurant. Everybody has to be trained in like bussing and cleaning the tables and cooking the like. You have to be able to know how to do everything to even work in corporate at Waffle House. So one time,
that's the way it is.
Yeah, I was having a meeting with the CEO there, and when I got there, he was literally wiping off tabletops, like killing time until we got there.
And you will see Jackie, the owner of Cherries, bussing tables, wiping off table, handing out a plate of pretzel bites. And if you see something, you're like, is that Jackie? No, I don't think so. That is her ex-wife who is teaming about. And we found out later that they were married and split. We don't know if they were like legally married, whatever. But I think she's an iconic person. And I really feel that she should be a guest on Diking Out.
Just
to get the full story.
You're obsessed with her. I want to set you two up on a date.
No, I just want the story. This is a fascinating person. She has her house on Cherry Grove. If you're walking around, all of the homes, they're cottages and they all have names.
Yes.
So like hers is called Venus Envy. We have to find out Wanda Sykes's house name.
Yeah. It's probably not the cocksucker one. What's it called? Yeah. Very welcoming for the lesbians.
Carolyn, focus on the good. You know, you walked by Ethel's Merman. What else? What other house names?
There's the Mamas and the Papas. Yeah. That's an iconic one. They're just all over.
Yeah, that's a nice looking one.
You can't miss them.
There's a sign on one of the houses that says, boys will be boys. Get out of here. Go back to the Pines. Boys will be boys. I'm sorry. I'm coming back to Cherry Grove next year. Cecilia likes it. She's like, let's not go on other vacations so that we have money to come back to Cherry Grove. I know I said while you were here, Jess, that I like P-Town better. I think I changed my mind. I think that actually...
Tell me why. This is a new development.
Yeah, I think I do like Cherry Grove better than P-Town. I think I like the during the week vibe. I think it's easier to make friends with strangers here. Not that I like made best friends since you guys left, but...
Yeah, what?
We were in the ice cream shop and we met this like great... I know I'm like railing against men, but this really sweet couple, Richard and Quentin. And then we saw them at bingo later. And
aww. Were you drunk at bingo?
Eventually, yeah.
You texted me something like, Richard's here. I was like, who? What?
No, I said, Richard won. Our friend Richard won.
Oh, Richard won. Okay. I did not know Richard.
Your friend Richard, who you met about 12 hours ago.
After I'd left.
Hours. We all talked over the plans for the night, and we decided as a group that we were doing bingo over Showgirls.
I love that.
Richard was not on board for Showgirls. They bought the prosciutto bread because they were curious from Head of Lettuce, which I then found out from other people that the prosciutto bread at Sweet Licks is not good.
Let's talk about some iconic spots. I would say iconic spot number one, you got to go to Sweet Licks.
Oh, yes. My God. Run by just your classic dyke. Like, she was bumbling around when we went in. We went in immediately. Allie loves it. She doesn't drink, so she's like, I'm using my sugars that would normally go towards alcohol right here at Sweet Licks.
It's good ice cream.
And this woman, right as we walk in, she's railing against the Pines. So, perfect.
Oh, I love that. What was she saying?
People were like, are you ever going to open another one? Or she was like, never. You know, they offered. They said they would pay for the first two, they'd cover the first 2 years of my lease. And I was like, no chance in hell you're going to get me over there. I keep this island in business. People take the ferry over from the Pines, or they take the water taxis to me. I'm keeping the water taxis in business, okay?
She's a hero.
She's like, why would I ever go to the Pines?
This
like,
is a local hero. That's amazing.
That's actually me in the future.
It is. Well, they're going to give me 2 free years so they could dump me after that? Like,
yeah.
We walked in as she was like mid-rant and it was beautiful. And
I think her name's Linda.
I have footage of it. I didn't want to film her. So it's just like me scanning all the ice creams while she's screaming in the back.
I'm gonna need that text. I would like that. Okay, iconic spot number two. Obviously, like, the underwear party at the Ice Palace has now been, like, immortalized on screen because of the film Fire Island. But it is fun to, like, walk around, but you got to be willing to, like, stay up really late.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, is that, like, I get it is on paper, it's an iconic spot. Whether you have fun or not is up to you.
I mean, the Ice Palace is where, like, I think the after party is for Les Volley.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
But that's a whole different thing than the underwear party.
Yeah. That's like a different thing, but they do. I think it's the white party after Les Volley on that Saturday.
The girls I go with go to the underwear party, and they are usually like the only one. It's like it's very few.
Yeah. Like, I like that they screen every Wednesday night, Uncle Spooky, who I think is a drag queen, he screens, or she screens, whoever Uncle Spooky is, screens a horror movie every Wednesday night. And
which got me excited until
this week. See, I was like legitimately excited that it was Showgirls, and it broke my heart that unfortunately I was leaving that morning. I considered staying an extra night in order to watch Showgirls, and apparently Uncle Spooky will come around and scare you.
Ooh.
Like while watching them. See, this is all very appealing to me.
Yeah. I would like that for a horror movie. I do not consider
it's a camp class.
It's a camp classic. That should be a different movie night. But for Uncle, you know,
Uncle Spooky, they did Romy and Michelle again. Not a horror. These are camp class. They need to just rebrand, and then we're all good.
Yeah,
rebrand horror.
Hardline Bergier. Like,
do we want to talk about the secret tiki bar? Because this is sort of a hidden gem. Like, most people don't really know about this.
If you go through the, I'm a pro now. If you go through Island Breeze,
it goes to Fire Island once.
Yeah. Cut through the main restaurant onto the deck or whatever, go to the left, and there's a little tiki bar, and then you have a nice view of the sunset. There's like two tables, 12 chairs, and somebody who doesn't know what's in a Negroni working behind the bar.
God, Carolyn.
A man.
I'm dying. Okay, you know what my favorite spot on Cherry Grove is? To just hang out at the bar. We did that. You guys were maybe packing, but Carolyn, Ceci, and I, we hung out at the bar at Sandcastle, and we ate a couple meals there, but I just love the vibe.
I like it there.
Yeah.
Our very first night, we were trying to suss out, like, a fun game is like, who are these people? Like, you'll see like an older man, a woman, and then two lesbians. Mm-hmm. And you figured out it was one of their parents.
We were talking about the table behind us.
I mean, I had to assume that it was parents with their lesbian daughter and her girlfriend.
But I was convinced the mom was a les too, until you steered me in a different direction.
Love is love is love.
Why were they all looking at me when I was coming back from the bathroom?
The mom and the daughter?
I felt like all eyes were on. I was like, oh, the older woman.
Because they heard you talking about them earlier.
That may have been it.
I almost asked the top bun one in line for the bathroom, but I didn't. It is kind of hard. So today at the beach, I felt like I was seeing a lot of straight people. But then it's like all the men have mustaches. And like when I see a mustache on a man, I'm like, he's gay or he's from Long Island. And like I'm trying to hear them talk. It was very confusing, but I definitely felt like there were still a lot of straight people on the beach today. And I really wanted to be like, why?
Wait, can we go back to you prefer Cherry Grove over Provincetown? I hard disagree with this.
Well, a few things. It is closer.
Is this just because you won bingo?
No, did you win bingo?
Yeah, I won a Cherries on the Bay shirt at bingo.
Spoiler alert.
She's like, and guess who made it? A man!
You like it because it's closer. Okay, what else?
Okay.
There's actual shit to do in Provincetown. You can eat, you can see shit.
Sure, but I like...
I don't love a rocky beach with no waves.
Yes.
Right. So I do think the beach here is better, even though it's...
vicious.
Full of marine life.
Wait, this is hilarious. Carolyn says, the beach here is too... it smells. I'm like, it smells of what? She's like... see.
Yeah, Carolyn was tripping balls on mushrooms when she was on the beach last before that. Maybe she said that, or I don't know. All your senses were heightened and you were bugging. And so let's remember that Carolyn was tripping out on, you know, the smallest crab.
I'm sorry that I don't want jellyfish and stingray swimming up into me. And
it's not stingray.
There are stingrays.
The streets were talking.
People were talking.
The sea was talking.
The streets were talking. The sea was talking. There have been shark sightings. No, a couple weeks ago, apparently there were so many rays in the water that when the waves were cresting, you could see them riding in.
Well, wish I'd known that. I was in there. I think people should know that the ocean is, the waves are really rough. The current is really rough. I know a lot of friends who say, like, when they go there for the first time, they're like, that's impossible to go in. Like, Allie and I tried to boogie board. We got absolutely thrashed. Like, it was Velcro to us, and that meant nothing. Yeah. We lost the boogie boards. It's very rough.
I went fully in yesterday until somebody screamed, get out of the water, because something like big and smooth hit them. And I'm like, this is, of course, the time that I get eaten by. You've never seen me swim so fast.
There were sharks last year around when I went too.
And this year too. And I'm like, no, I'm not fucking around with that.
Carolyn, I feel like the way you feel about sea life, though, is kind of like you can relate because the sea life feels the way you feel about the men on Cherry Grove. You know, like...
Right. Where I'm like, I will see myself out. You're right. Stingrays, jellyfish, you take over here. I was foolish for thinking that I belonged in this water. Mm-hmm. And I got right out because...
You don't take up space.
I respect. No, for... Okay, P-Town is... great, but Cherry Grove feels more like a community. I kind of like that. Yeah. Options are limited because last night Cecilia and I are like, do we watch Showgirls or do we go to Cocky Bingo? And then you can make plans with strangers and be like, okay, yeah, we're all doing bingo, and then scream Richard like crazy when they win, you know, and it feels nice. It's like, ah, this is fun.
Let's talk about our favorite nightlife shows, like the shows, because we saw stuff like every night. You said, oh, wait, you, before we got on here, you said that last night was your favorite show of the week.
I mean, they were all great, but Camilla Cockman from The Assassins was my favorite performer. I loved Hedda Lettuce, but like Camilla, not only is she just, she's calling bingo numbers, but during the Assassin show, she didn't, it's more, what's her name? Boudoir?
Yeah, Boudoir LaFleur is like the leader. It's like she like runs the House of Assassins and it's like four queens.
So her and Kimmy Moore do all of the talking, where like Camilla didn't really get to talk. So this was like the first night that Camilla is like running the show, and between rounds would do numbers. And it was like, first, like the music was popping. It came out doing Natalie Cole, did Whitney Houston numbers, did Beyonce numbers, was playing Usher. Like it was just like great music.
And she can fucking dance.
And she can dance, and she gave a lot of variety. She's super charming. Here is another thing. It was also at midnight, she was turning 30.
Oh my God.
It was a really cool thing to be there for. So it was her birthday, so she was counting down to it. And then somebody from the staff came out and they were talking about like how much they love her, how great she is, how important she is. They brought out a cake and then they're like, everybody tip 20. And then one by one, we all went up and just gave $20 bills to her. And she was like so like overwhelmed from that. But there was just like so much love in the room for her. And she worked like really, she does that whole show herself. There wasn't as much of a crowd because it was a Wednesday night, so it just felt like a really nice intimate experience. And to be there for her birthday, it felt like super special. And I won bingo.
I love that.
I never win bingo.
This was my first time ever seeing Hedda Lettuce, and Hedda is hilarious. Like, explain how
so
she does
funny.
She does the show is, I would say it's 90% crowd work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is very difficult to do.
Yes.
And she kills.
That is a mainstay activity.
Yeah.
For anyone going to Fire Island is to see Hedda Lettuce, it feels like.
For sure.
Like I'm watching stories on Instagram all summer. Everyone goes to a Hedda Lettuce show. I was excited we finally got to go because I didn't last year. It's great.
Apparently, she's only on Fire Island now during the month of August because she fully moved and bought a home in Puerto Vallarta, the other gay capital, another gay capital.
Yeah. Well, they got to update the Wikipedia for Cherry Grove because it says like they name like four entertainers. It's like the new generation of entertainers has even bought homes there and lives there. And Hedda Lettuce is one. There's two others. And Wanda Sykes, her wife and kids, is on the Wikipedia.
So you saw Wanda's?
I forgot to tell you. Yeah, I mean, I was toasted. I went out dancing at Cherry's. I was dancing so hard that I saw Wanda Sykes and didn't turn right back around to my like group of friends or dance circle and just like continued to get down. And that's, I was like, wow, that's how much I really liked this ABBA dance remix. Like,
I love that. I had seen her, I think, like our very first day. There was like a breast cancer benefit going on, hosted by the Assassins on Saturday afternoon. Now, normally there'd be a bunch of like bachelorette parties and shit, but thankfully I didn't encounter any of that. So it was just the two main Assassins, and Wanda Sykes was just sitting right there because she is a breast cancer survivor. And it was amazing. And I saw her give like one of my favorite queens, Kimmy Moore, some money. So like, I loved that. And I was able to get it on video.
Yeah.
But I've seen Wanda Sykes like a lot. Like, this is my second time seeing her this summer.
She was there briefly. And I think it was because it was a Saturday night and the last ferry hadn't left yet. And it was at least two like bachelorette parties. And it was very straight. Mm. And like, you kind of saw her come in. And then I learned that she was gone quickly after that.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Wait, yeah. We can't forget the Heather Locklear sighting.
Yeah, and then
yeah.
At the Head of Lettuce show, who's in the front row? Like, doing crowd work on everyone, but obviously Heather Locklear.
Our waitress comes over all excited. Do you guys know who Heather Locklear? We're like, yeah, we're from the fucking 90s.
I love that. It's like, oh, do we look young enough?
I was like, yes, I was born in 82, of course.
To not know?
And that, so that was amazing. And apparently she stayed overnight. She stayed on Cherry. I was certain she must have been at some fancy house in the Pines with friends, but no, it was confirmed that she...
Slumming it at Cherry Grove,
yeah,
with the Dykes.
Slumming it.
She was on Cherry Grove, so I love that.
It's so funny because it's like slumming it in Cherry Grove. It's still expensive. Like, the whole island, right, is expensive.
And if you want any food, you got to come to Cherry Grove.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pros and cons between the Pines and Cherry Grove.
I am staying at the Pines next year. I already have a room locked in, which is surprisingly cheap for the island. But I know I'll be taking the water taxi over every night.
I've spent a lot of time in the Pines, and there has never been a trip where I do not take the water taxi or walk over to Cherry Grove to, like, A, eat, B, be entertained, C, eat.
Yeah. I feel like the stuff in the Pines, I don't, like, that could be anywhere. I don't know. Like, Cherry Grove just feels so much more charming.
I think if you're a Hell's Kitchen or Chelsea gay boy and you're there to hook up with strangers and do a lot of drugs, it would be the greatest place on earth. But, like, sure. I'm not looking to, you know, like, you got to understand, like, they are up on drugs until... They sometimes don't go to bed till 6 a.m. They work out for their health. Then they pump their bodies full of drugs and they just keep doing that. And they're having sex with all of – it's crazy. That is what goes on in the Pines.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your guys' other friends who were there. I met Erica Rose for the first time.
Lesbian Bar Project. Erica Rose, yeah, was there. Yes.
I loved her.
Fun to watch two Jewesses connect. always.
She feels like she's from Long Island, but she's not.
Yeah, she's from outside Boston.
Mm, that's a shame.
Past guest of the podcast.
Yes. Also a past guest, Alicia Hush.
Yep. Another comedian.
Another comedian. Marissa Riley. Yeah, little crew that I went with last year. I'm so glad we all got to go this year.
They all stayed at Wisteria, which is the women's only hotel, which Melody hates.
Wow, we're just going to put that out there.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I need to roam free. I need to not have a house mom watching over me.
So here, I'm going to do the other side of the coin. I actually enjoy Wisteria. As somebody who has stayed at, like, various guest houses in both the Pines and Cherry Grove, do not get a room at the Ice Palace unless you don't want to sleep.
Right.
If you are okay with, like, blasting music for your whole time, then that's okay.
But it might be the most affordable.
I hear the rooms aren't nice there either.
No, it's a shithole.
At the Ice Palace, yeah.
And it's burned down like 5 times and it never gets nicer when they rebuild. So it's quite interesting. So no, don't stay at the Ice Palace. I think the only reasonable place to stay, if you're not renting like an Airbnb or a proper house the way you guys did, I think Wisteria is a fantastic choice. And Melody, I found out about Wisteria through you. You sold it to me and then turned on it.
I did. I had a little kerfuffle with one of the part owners, manager. I don't know. I've quit weed for at least a year. I was not allowed to smoke weed there last year. Big problem for me. Even though it's legal and we were outdoors and there's like a roof deck that is lovely for especially the sunsets, iconic sunsets, that whole anywhere you are on that island.
The only drawback for me at Wisteria, truly the only drawback, is that they do not take even the smallest of dog.
There's a lot of rules.
And I have a 6.5 pound pup and it's hard. Like I want to bring my dog with me to Fire Island. Like she's always with me and, you know, she's always with me in Fire Island. So that is a drawback. But yeah, I still like it. But it's not great that you can't bring your pup.
I just have to wonder how welcome trans lesbians are, how welcome non-binary. It's like women's only, like something about that kind of like got to me. I had a guy friend visit who wasn't allowed to like my friend was in from the Pines, went to the underwear party, did end up sleeping with someone in Cherry Grove just to avoid figuring out how to get back home on all the K and G and whatever. And then was like going to just like take a nap with Allie and I at the beach in the morning and then make his way back over to the Pines. And
wait, did he actually sleep at Wisteria?
No. Did I say Wisteria?
No, I was
like trying to figure out where he stayed.
Yeah, somewhere between town, somewhere on Bayview, close by.
Okay.
Yeah.
And wasn't allowed to like come, had to like stand outside. And something about this like women's only, I don't know.
There are two genders in Cherry Grove, right? And it's Wisteria and Belvedere. And those are the genders. That's it.
The Belvedere is this beautiful castle. It's gorgeous. It's a men's only stay.
It's kind of iconic. It's been there a very long time. I've obviously never been inside, but like I would, you know, I'll keep my hands to myself and I'd love a little tour.
Me too. And they have great parties. They have tea. We would have our coffee on the roof at Wisteria and just look right across the way and just see
dicks,
wing wings.
Yeah.
And all that.
Oh, don't you call them wieners, Carolyn?
Oh, I was joking. I don't know. I think at one point Melody was like, Carolyn only calls them weenies. And I'm like, sure, why not? Sounds emasculating.
Oh, yeah. Carolyn kept saying weenies and I picked up on it.
I love it.
But yeah, something about like an old school lesbian, white lesbian, I'll say, does kind of make me feel a certain type of way. And I felt a certain type of way. And I did get into some little kerfuffles with management. So I just need to be in a house, you know?
Yeah,
I get it.
There is some stuff. Maybe I'll talk about it on the Patreon because I'm not going to get into it here. I don't want to disparage anyone from going, but you know.
Wisteria looks nice. A lot of people like it. Some people don't. Everybody has different tastes. I will say the other thing that I really liked about Cherry Grove versus the Pines is that Cherry Grove is so much more diverse. At the Pines, it really felt like it was like 95% white gay men and then 3% Asian gay men.
Yeah. Although we did see a couple of girls.
We saw a couple of women. Yeah.
That's going to be me next year.
I have noticed because like my previous 2 times this summer, I stayed in the Pines and there were more women. I saw more women summer 2022 than I have ever seen in the Pines. And I wonder.
It's the movie.
I don't know. Yeah. I had wondered, is this the movie or is this like, Carolyn, we talked about doing an invasion of the Pines, you know, harkening back to 1976, the iconic invasion of the Pines.
Tell about the iconic invasion. This was an interesting story that you told on our walk back from the Pines.
Yeah. So the invasion of the Pines, it started in 1976 after the bicentennial. And basically every single July 4th, well, I'll tell the story first, but it takes place on July 4th every single year. So on July 4th, 1976, a drag queen wanted to go over to the Pines for lunch, eat at the Blue Whale, which is the main restaurant. You know, it's where tea takes place. So she boards a water taxi and is turned away from service. They could, because at that time in the 70s, in the 60s and the 70s, the Pines was always gay, but it was much more closeted. It was very closeted, very like Upper East Side, as opposed to Cherry Grove, which was kind of the funkier West Village vibe, which was like very like full of drag queens, women, and just like really fun gay guys, just like a looser kind of rockabilly vibe in Cherry Grove. Mm-hmm. And so this queen was very upset that she was turned away from service, came back on the water taxi and told all of her friends. The next day, they were like, you know what? We're going to go over there and tell them to fuck off. They can't treat us this way. They board a little water taxi. There were probably like five of them, four or five of her friends. They all dress in drag. They go over and they're like, we're going to go invade the Pines. Everyone loved it. They were allowed to eat there and they were like celebrated. And every single year on July 4th, it's called the Invasion of the Pines. And now, like in modern, you know, since the, I guess, the turn of the century, they're now entire ferries are full of drag queens. And they do like multiple, this obviously takes like multiple ferries. And there's always like a host, like Bianca Del Rio has hosted it. It's like an iconic event every July 4th. The first time I've ever went to Fire Island, it happened to be July 4th because a lot of my friends have birthdays around that week. And it's sort of the official like kickoff to summer. And so I've seen the invasion like a bunch of times, my very first time. And I'm definitely going to do it next year.
Yeah, a quick Google and there's already all the events are slated. Fire Island Invasion 2023.
Run down the events. What do you say?
There's warnings about, you know, the hotels fill up fast a year in advance. Search now and they have a link for that. The event on the afternoon of July 4th every year, drag queens from both Cherry Grove and the Pines gather at the Ice Palace Bar on Cherry Grove Hotel. After parading through the Cherry Grove streets, they board a chartered ferry boat and sail to the Pines Harbor, greeted by thousands of cheering residents and visitors. Parties, I Love Boat. That's the name of the party. At Cherries on the Bay, the only place you'll find music bingo. Come spend. Okay. D-World Fire Island Underwear Party. Yes, we know this.
That's every Friday night.
Yeah. Wolf Pup presents Jockstrap Fridays at the Pavilion on the Pines. So, yeah.
That's their version of the underwear party. They're trying to compete.
Yeah, it looks because they're at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, 10:30.
For lazy gay boys who don't want to make a pilgrimage.
And the website I'm on is gaytravel4u.com/event/Fire Island Invasion. And they get into the history of it further. And they have a gay map of Fire Island.
Huh. Les Volley is a big
event. That's the invasion. That's the dyke invasion.
That's the dyke invasion, yeah.
Yeah.
It should be the standard.
There's also a very famous circuit party called the Pines Party, which happens every year, and it sells out like it's. I actually interviewed a friend of mine about it, or he talked a bit about it, and that kind of sounds off the chain. Like these huge DJ towers on the beach. It's supposed to be like this amazing event, but
yeah, my guy friends go.
I mean, it's gay men. It's like you know, not women, but I would be interested in seeing it.
There's starting to be more intersectional events this last summer, like Poppy Juice went over and did a show. So a BIPOC collective. There was also, there was controversy too. Did you hear about this summer?
I didn't hear about this. There was controversy around the intersectional pride flag going up at Cherry Grove.
I saw something about how, when you pull up on the ferry at Cherry Grove, there's a U.S. flag and there's... Yeah. Your classic rainbow flag. This summer, they wanted to replace that with the intersectional progress pride flag, the most current one. And I'm forgetting like the name, whatever the organization is that governs like what flags go up in Cherry Grove, opposed it. And then there was some back and forth. It was just something I was scrolling through early summer. And then I think the negotiation was that it went up this certain weekend and then like it went down because we saw when we pulled up on the ferry that it was just the original standard rainbow flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I start a petition right now for you guys to host a Dyking Out comedy show the week of Les Volley?
I would love that. I mean, I was thinking it'd be nice if there were some events that weren't just, again, feel like the target audience is gay men and straight people.
Well, no. They have comedians at the Cherry Grove Community House. There's a theater.
Yeah. Gina Yashir. Yeah.
Suzanne Westenhofer performs there.
Right.
Poppy Champlain. Like, lesbians perform there. You know, you guys could do a show there. Big stage, theater, or just you could do something at the Ice Palace.
Would love that. There should be more programming for queer women and non-binary folks. There should be more of us there on the island. But it's hard. I mean, it took me this long to get here because I feel like it is very cost prohibitive to take a trip there.
Wait, you're saying that like to rent a house for a week?
Yeah. I mean, for a lot of people, like it was
for a lot of people to have a meal there, even
a meal, the cost of everything. Yeah. Like most people I know can't.
Which is why it's so white to begin with.
Yeah.
But you don't have to rent. There are options. You don't have to rent a house for a week. Like you can just grab days at Wisteria. You can grab days at an Airbnb that's like a 2-bedroom. You can split it. Like, you don't have to do a full week.
Mm-hmm. Sure, but like, I'm thinking of, like, you know, queer people who live in New York who are in their 20s and they're already, like, getting murdered on rent. And for them to be able to drop $370 for one night on, you know, off Long Island, it's like...
Let's see how much is it for a night at the Ice Palace? Because when I was in my 20s, everyone just stayed at the Ice Palace. Like, they didn't care. They were just there to have fun.
Yeah.
It can be as much as Wisteria, depending on the weekend, depending on what's going on, based on the demand.
Maybe holiday weeks.
And there's initiatives to bring Black and brown or like trans people over. There's like weekends where there's free ferries. There's, okay, the organization I was blanking on earlier, it's BABEC, like BABEC, Black and Brown Equity Coalition. They, for Juneteenth weekend, cover the ferries. And that's when Poppy Juice went over and performed. It was Juneteenth weekend. Yeah. And it's sort of like a anti-racist Fire Island demonstration.
Yeah.
While also celebrating queer joy. Like, there's new initiatives popping up to make it more inclusive and accessible.
I think it's possible to do, like, now that I've done it, like the drive out to Sayville, like it's not that bad. Or you can take a train there, and then there's a $6 shuttle from the train station to the ferry to go. So if you wanted to do a day trip and even get like a cheaper place to stay in Sayville, you could. I mean, there aren't, it's good to know though, people who are there, because there aren't like public restrooms at the beach, or like you'd have to be eating and using the facilities at, like, you know, Cherries and stuff. But it's all like everything's so close together that I don't see that being like a huge problem if you wanted to do that.
It is so much more of an endeavor to get to Provincetown.
Yes.
It is. You cannot compare. And it is much more expensive to stay in Provincetown.
Yeah.
And I like it better because it offers so
much. Date in a hostel.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I like Provincetown better because, just if I'm comparing like apples to apples, like you get a lot more. Like I can spend 10 days in Provincetown and never be bored. Fire Island, like you're kind of maxing out like around day 5. Like you're kind of like, okay, I've kind of eaten everything. I've done everything.
What day are you on, Carolyn?
I mean, this will be my 6th night, right?
I mean, people do shares where they stay like 5 weeks out of the summer, you know, 1 week a month.
And my 7th night.
Could you see yourselves doing that?
I mean, Cecilia was like, let's go for 2 weeks. I'm like, no, I think 1 week is good. Like, I would maybe do the week during Les Volley and stay afterwards, and then like maybe come another time for like a couple of nights. But yeah, I don't need to spend ton of time here unless it's like you're going with people you know and you have a big enough group to go with.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing next year. Like, but it is in the Pines. They have a share. I'm gonna do one of the weeks, but what I'm paying for that week next summer is what I paid for the room for the weekend in Cherry Grove with Carolyn this year. So it's like, because there's enough people and friends, and there's going to be people like claiming a couch to sleep, you know, like it's going to be like a bunch of comedians in a house. So there's ways to do it.
Guys and girls?
Yeah, mostly guys and non-binary. Actually, I'm like, is everyone pretty genderqueer? But yeah, I'll probably be one of like 2, 3, 4 at most girls.
I will say also a cheaper way also to do it is if you just avoid, again, like these big holiday weeks, like July 4th, like, yeah, it's going to be crazy busy and like obviously space is limited, but June and September are actually two of the most beautiful months to be there because the weather is more temperate. It's not like blazing hot. And because it's, you know, once you're after Labor Day,
right,
the cost comes down. So, and there's not, there's not, you know, it's not as overrun with people. So there's more availability. So I would say that. And I've been in September and June many times. I was there this June and it's beautiful.
And the ocean is a little bit warmer now. If you want to risk death, you can go in the ocean.
If you want to risk death.
And it's not too cold. It's very inviting.
September's the vibe.
Definitely check out the Assassins.
They perform in Manhattan too?
Yeah, they perform every week at Playhouse in the West Village. They perform at the Ritz. But Playhouse in the Village and Cherry's on Fire Island are their two like home spots.
I already have been seeking out the next time, like Playhouse. We gotta go.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was one of the best drag shows I've seen in a long time, that one.
For sure.
When Britney was officially free, they did an all Britney night and it was amazing at Playhouse.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I don't know. It is really charming here. It is, despite my like initial reluctance, though I will say, okay, I know I've talked a lot about me being afraid of the logistics of like not having a car and having to like bring over all my stuff and be like, how am I going to bring over a week's worth of stuff? So we got a wagon and we loaded it up and I had to bring my recording equipment. And then I also wanted to make sure that we had food for the week so I didn't have to spend as much money eating out every night and everything. So we got all this food. We got cans of Truly, a couple bottles of wine, a bottle of tequila, all that set, loaded all up on the wagon. $50. $50 in a freight charge to take this wagon on the ferry in addition to having to pay for the ferry ticket. I'm like, this is homophobic.
But that's still cheaper than if you were to buy all that stuff there.
It is. But I do feel like it's a little bit of a racket. Like, what's the straight part of Fire Island called?
There's a few.
Yeah, there's a few.
What's the ocean?
There's Ocean Beach. Fair Harbor.
Okay.
So when we were buying our mushrooms to take to the beach, Carol and I had this whole, we're going to take mushrooms. We're going to have a co-host bonding trip. I had $200 worth of mushrooms and barely tripped because I'm on antidepressants. Carolyn, within 15 minutes from a sip of mushroom tea on a whole other planet. So that didn't work out. But when we bought it, the guy for the mushroom delivery service came to our place and we were like, yeah, we're buying it. We're going to Fire Island tomorrow. And he was like, I just went there for the first time. And Allie was like, where did you stay? And just assumed because he said he was going to Fire Island that he was gay. And he was like, it was fair. And I knew that was a straight part. And I was like, I got everything I need. Like, he's not gay. And Allie was like, oh, I don't remember that. I've never heard of that. Did you get to go and see Tina Burner? Like, we're going to try and see Tina Burner. And it's like just naming all these like extremely gay activities. Like, did you do this? Because we did this. Like, and it's like, no. He went to the straight part, Allie. He is obviously a straight man. And she just assumed, like, if you go to Fire Island, you're gay. But there is a lot of straight real estate on the island.
It's very Long Island.
Yeah. And when we went last summer, we got scoffed at by a family. A dad was leading his kids away from us. We were walking the Sunken Forest, another beautiful part of the island. If you're down for a hike, nature kind of walk, we were coming back from it and it was clearly a bunch of lesbians, like, or bisexual, you know, dyke energy. And this dad led his family away from us. And what shirt was he wearing? A thin blue line, like a Blue Lives Matter shirt. Like, you forget, it is still Long Island. It is still, there are straight parts. And we were just like walking back because the Sunken Forest is kind of like, you know, a little out there. And we had to walk through a lot of families that were giving us a lot of dirty looks. And it's not, the whole island is not a gay utopia.
Right.
It is just these two parts that we've been discussing.
But what I want to know is how much do those ferries cost and how much does the freight cost there? I want to know, is Sayville being homophobic?
Well, it was a straight man who was checking in the freight, and I think he... I mean, you were just a visibly angry dyke and you got charged 50. I went up
very pleasant. I said, Cecilia.
I got charged $8.
I don't know how you got charged $8 for your bike. Cecilia, the sweetest person you'll ever meet with a face you cannot be mad at, goes and he like made it sound like he was giving us a break by only charging us 50. I mean, it was nuts.
Tina Fey has a house on Fair Harbor.
She does.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about.
She's had it for like over 20 years.
Aggressively straight.
In fact, her very first appearance on Letterman way back in the day, like her first year doing Update, she told the story about how they now have this house on Friar Island and how they went over to the Pines. It was either they went over to the Pines or to Cherry Grove for dinner.
Mm.
And I remember that from way back. That was one of the first times I'd ever heard about Friar Island.
Really?
Like the year like 2000. Yeah.
I need to look this up. I'm like, did she talk about the gays the way she talks about Asians? Because, oh boy. Have you never seen Tina Fey?
What does she say about it? What are you saying?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's anti-Asian racism on her part. Just like, I will forever love 30 Rock. It's undeniable that she has some anti-Asian sentiment that comes through in 30 Rock and like stuff that did not age well at all, like ironic racism. And there's some late night clips of her telling stories, putting on just offensive accents and imitations of like Asian women specifically.
Thanks, Melody, for balancing out my disdain for cis men with...
Oh, I'll come at white women all
coming
day.
Coming after yeah. Tina Fey. Yeah, balance it out. That's fine.
You can always count on me.
By the way, for more of the history of Cherry Grove, everyone should watch. There's a documentary. It's like 60 minutes. It's called Cherry Grove Stories. You can watch it on Amazon. You check that out. Like, everyone should watch that. Like... they interview the first people that ever did the invasion. It's great.
Yeah.
Very interesting. But hear about like the writers who used to live there, like Tennessee Williams would write there. Yeah. Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde.
Mm-hmm.
Dandy.
I mean, I'm fine with like some cis men, gay men being in Cherry Grove. But like, I don't know. I still... Like, I think lesbians need to run it. I think that...
Well, we should start something.
We should take up most of the space. Yeah, I mean, there seems to be, like, lesbians owning things.
Oh, yeah. The Jackie, my best friend, she owns half... she owns the entire island. The owner of Cherries also owns part... She's part owner of Sandcastle. I know that she's an investor into the water taxi.
Water taxi, yeah.
Apparently she lives there through the winter. I would be down. I'm so mad, Melody, that we can't go to that. I really want to go to the Christmas party because the assassins are performing, but I'm not going to be here. And then they do a Halloween party that's like in October.
Why? We can't go to the Christmas party?
It's like September 17th. I'm like travel. Oh, I'm literally on a plane.
Yeah.
But I think that's so fun that they do. They apparently they dress Cherries up. It's like decorated to the nines. And then there's a thing called Candyland, which is for her birthday. I don't know when her birthday is, but we're not that close. She mostly just lets me in to Cherries.
But it's your, I like, yeah, that comparison of it being very like Upper East Side versus West Village like vibes.
Yeah.
You guys need to get in with Jackie. That's what you need to do.
You know what? You heard it, Carolyn. You got to go. You and your
I'll
wife got to go
it.
Fuck.
Maybe I'll swing by right now. We got to go fuck Jackie.
I keep doing that if there's someone we need to get in with. I'm like, you know what to do, Carolyn. Get in there. You and Ceci. Am I being offensive?
Just swing right in. Yeah. I think,
towards the poly community?
Yes. Yes. You are really pushing some...
I am sorry.
Unflattering stereotypes mm-hmm. that were just mm-hmm. predatory. Yeah.
You know, all the unflattering bisexual stereotypes, I feel like I can lodge a few myself.
What no. am I doing? What?
Okay, Lauren, edit this out. I don't want any emails.
Keep it in, Lauren.
Okay, fine. Keep it in.
Do the listeners know who Lauren is?
I mean, our patrons know. Our patrons know who Lauren is.
Yeah, we can keep...
Lauren, edit that out.
We can keep... we should have more Lauren call-ins, call-tos,
yeah,
calls.
Yeah.
Calls for Lauren.
Yeah, I did the Sunken Forest this morning. I do find it, speaking of interesting, that on the east side of Cherry Grove, leading to the Pines, is something called the Meat Rack, where gay men go and fuck during the night. And then on the west end of Cherry Grove is the Sunken Forest, where lesbians hike. It's just really telling of the two worlds we live in.
Okay, wait, so speaking of that, well, for the Meat Rack is like a historical thing. Like, I mean, I'm sure sex still goes on there. They talk a lot about that in Cherry Grove stories.
It does.
But in Cherry Grove stories, Melody, have you seen it?
Cherry Grove stories? No.
Yeah. Okay. In Cherry Grove stories, something that they pose to the women is it true that there was something called a donut rack? Apparently there was like this myth that like women were doing this and they would call it the donut rack. But I think that's what they called it. And the women
bring it back.
And the women were like, no, like women don't do that. But you, go watch this thing.
Yeah, where can we watch Cherry Grove stories?
You can buy it for like $1 on Amazon.
Tax write-off.
I'm watching this immediately. Yeah.
There's, the underwear party and gay guys are like hooking up and, you know, sucking each other off on the dance floor and all that. Where is the spot for lesbians to do this?
Let's open it.
Yeah. Like, where can we like finger bang with reckless abandon? Where can we?
We got to talk to Jackie.
Do you think she'd be cool with that?
Let's open the door to our conversation first.
Yeah.
We did have an interview over a year ago with Joe from As You Are Bar, and her big thing was like not letting people finger each other on the dance floor. Why not?
No sex in the bathroom.
What's wrong? We have bottles of Purell everywhere. I think we should be allowed to finger each other on the dance floor now. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Yeah,
okay, wait. Here's a question for both of you. Aside from Fire
Jess
Island...
Jess is like, please, Carolyn, stop talking about finger banging.
I got to take control of this. Aside from Fire Island and Provincetown, what would be your third pick for a gay destination? I know that this has been a topic on the show. I'm a fan of Dyking mm-hmm. Out. Okay, so I'm going to throw a few things out there. There's Rehoboth Beach. There's Key West. There's Puerto Vallarta. But I know that's maybe more gay men. But I know these are like gay travel destinations.
They're all gay men. Like, I'm going to Palm Springs for the first time in a few weeks. And as I'm doing my research, I'm like, it's also another place that I've heard described as a gay destination, but that really is like a gay, like G in the LG, like a gay man destination.
But Dinah Shore is hosted there. So yeah. Yes. That is lesbian.
And obviously we're going for that.
Yeah, that's 1 week a year. Orlando, Florida has Girl the Party every single week. And that's the biggest like queer women centered party in the country, and that goes on every single week. So to me, that's a destination. Then you're, you know, if Tampa Bay is any indication, I think it's in Florida. I've never been to Rehoboth. I think we take over the Isle of Lesbos. Capri is apparently a gay destination.
We just need to find a sleepy beach town and just, you know, stick our flag.
I've never been to Rehoboth, but I hear that it is very gay. But it's far. The trek. No, listen, this is what's happening. Dyking Out is going to start a thing in Cherry Grove. You're going to start with one show. It's going to grow and grow and grow. And that's what I think Cherry Grove is the best bet. And you do it at the Ice Palace. You do it somewhere on Cherry Grove. And it's going to be amazing. People are going to come, especially if you tie it in with Les Volley or you do it on like that week.
Yeah.
The women. And then it's going to, word of mouth is going to build it up.
Yeah. Or even if it's like the week after Les Volley, it's like, we know a lot of you tried to get rentals and didn't act fast enough. Why don't you come down the next week? The dyke energy will still be in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why it's hard to get rentals during Les Volley?
Because of the men.
The men.
That's not true. That's not true.
Oh, it's a community full of Edwards. And the Edwards have been coming for years and they're claiming. Melody, do you know that those tomato plants are communal? We're allowed to eat them. We're allowed to eat the tomato.
What about the basil?
All of it. All of it we could have had. Edward's walking around like they're his fucking tomato plants, knocking on our sliding glass door, trying to just disrupt everything, kill the vibe.
Just really intense energy from an older gay man who's been renting the place behind the place that we were in for the last 10 years and was nice at first. And then our second morning we walk out and we're like, good morning. And he was like,
he was never nice
to Allie. He just looks at us. It was like, the tomatoes could use some water. I'm like, excuse me? Like, we just got here. What are you talking about?
When you get a chance, they're very dry.
When you get a chance, I don't know if you're planning on watering them. They're very dry. Okay. Like, we're not, no one told us about any vegetables we needed to keep alive. So we got to water them.
And then.
And you eat them. And you guys just take and take and take. I'm trying to get on Carolyn's wavelength.
Thank you. And we had music playing. And then he sets up his music louder.
And then he comes and sets up some show tunes.
Competing music.
Are you trying to turn people off from going?
No.
Yeah.
You're just telling your truth.
I'm telling my truth.
Is anyone still listening?
Tell your older cis gay guy pals or whatever, your Uncle Edward. Knock it off. Let us have a little bit of space.
That's what we're saying. We're releasing this now so people can get their rentals and take up space because you got to do it a year in advance.
Yeah. Get your rentals right now. Listen to this. You got to do it right now.
Listen, people listening, message Dyking Out the week that you're coming. Make it the week either before or after Les Volley week in August. Which is like, I think Les Volley Week is like the week of the 12th, come a little before, a little after, there's going to be a Dyking Out show. There's going to be an event, 2023. I have my tickets already.
Jess is giving us work to do. Fine, we'll do it. I mean, if I think that gay men should be taxed extra, like there should be a charge that goes into a fund that goes into allowing queer women and non-binary folks to help them rent spaces. I think that
I
there
agree.
Should be some rentals that are set aside
for subsidized.
Subsidize yeah. it. Yeah. I mean, let me tell you, a class act. Camilla Cockman. We were playing bingo and we were gonna, you know, they change it up between rounds of how you can win. And we were doing the quickie round, which is four corners, right? So somebody's gonna win that quickly. Well, three of us won at the same time. I was sitting closest to the stage, and even knowing that I was one away, I had like 1 foot ready to go to, and of course a gay man beats me to the fucking stage with his card. But Camilla Cockman goes, ladies first, and checks mine first.
Women okay. and children first.
And yeah, I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Finally, the first person who seemingly respect. We all had to sit in the back of the drag shows. What's up with that, Jackie? Huh? We don't have a reservation in Fast Enough? Is there not a block?
Yeah, it's because we didn't have reservations fast enough.
There should be a block for us.
I agree.
There should be a block. Instead, it's all the Pines. They're staying in the Pines. They're not even staying in Cherry Grove. Why do they get to sit in the front?
Get her on the damn line.
I will die on this cross.
Zoom her in. Why is she not in the Zoom right now?
True.
Yeah. I know she's busy putting reserve signs for Pines Boys at Cherries for the shows tonight.
It was alarming. When we went to Head of Lettuce, I enjoyed the show, but most of the show is crowd work. So you're really getting to know who is amongst you. And it was
all men.
God, it was all like cis white men. Like it was
yes.
very homogenous.
But it's a drag show. Lesbians don't love drag. Well, like we're kind of the exception.
If we're here.
I don't know. It was just like homogenous.
Yeah, for the women who were there, it was definitely like on the border.
Yeah, we were all in the back corner.
Yeah, on the far side of the bar. And I've never had this experience before where every time a dancer came off the stage, me and Ceci had, and like you guys too, had money out. In our hands.
Oh, yeah. I was like, take all my money.
They walk right by it. They don't even see us. We're not visible to them. And then I'm like, fine. You know what? Take the money from the men. Let the men pay the drag queens. I'll put my dollars back in my thing. That would never fly at a Honey Burlesque show. Honey Burlesque, they see everybody in the room. They see all of us.
They got less on the dollar and need to get all the dollars.
Yeah.
What have we learned today? We should have let Carolyn cool off before we recorded this episode. She's still on the island.
Look.
I can't believe the video you posted on Dyking Out. The snark is in the...
I loved it. Wait.
I was like, Carolyn!
Carolyn, the sun is setting right now. Can you run outside and do another...
live report?
You do it live right now and make it good.
I'm going to make a post on Dyking Out that's happier. I'm going to do it. I'm going to upload some happy pictures. Go ahead.
If you think that that was snarky,
yeah,
you should see the other stuff that I've been recording for real I plan on making.
Oh, my God. And you're posting it on our account?
I'll post it on my own. I'll post it on my own to not embarrass you.
Angry dyke.
What are the shows tonight?
I mean, Dollhouse, and then there's like an 11 p.m. of Kimmy Moore, which we're not staying up for, and then at the Ice Palace is Portia. I don't know if we'll go to any of them. We'll probably just go and get some ice cream right now.
See, this is why there's no fingering on the dance floor. We have to stay up.
I would stay up if I knew that the women would be there. Okay, one last thing, and I think this is part of why there aren't more lesbians here, and I really think I'm doing my part and fulfilling like my purpose as a lesbian on this planet, is I'm bringing back the angry lesbian stereotype.
You are.
You're really leaning into it, yeah.
You know, I love it.
We fought it for years, and it feels so good to lean into it. I am scowling at gay men.
Just gonna say you had a permascowl.
Yeah. Oh, any straight people, I am shooting them the evil eye. When I walk by, I say, why?
No, she right? was. Yeah.
Let me be. Oh, you're gonna make out as a clearly heterosexual couple at the entrance of Cherries?
That was kind of alarming.
Fuck off. I should have pushed them into the bay. I cannot. Give me my gay paradise.
I love it.
That's not full of men yelling at me about the fucking tomato plants.
All right. When we post this episode, sound off in the comments on Instagram what we should either take over that's not queer at all, or what gay destination are we bringing finger banging dance floors to?
Yes. Also, do we like Angry Carolyn, or should I dial it back and go back to People Pleaser?
People love Angry Carolyn. When Melody gets angry, though, wow, do the emails come in.
Well, I have a sunset to catch. I have people to scowl at.
I gotta go scowl at the sun.
No, Carolyn, when you go out right now, I want you to interview every straight person you see and just be like, why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here?
Yes.
Do it right now. Get out there right now. The sun is setting. Okay. Run. Run.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Wait a minute. Jess, where can our listeners?
Yeah, where can people follow you?
Oh.
Hello, everybody. You can follow me, JessXNYC. My show is Hot Takes and Deep Dives. Go there. I interview a lot of lesbian talent, comedians. I recently interviewed Roxane Gay, Sandra Bernhard, Melissa Etheridge, Rosie O'Donnell. Nice little sister podcast, Dyking Out.
All the hits.
Melody and Carolyn have been on.
You are a phenomenal interviewer.
Yes. Oh,
thank you.
You are just so good at it. And
yes.
You come on prepared and not angry. And you do a great job.
Okay. Okay. There's a time and a place for everything.
I love you guys. I love the Dyking Out listeners. Sound off in the comments. I don't even know what that means. What comments?
It means engage with the goddamn post, because
engage with the goddamn post.
Boy, is that not happening. All right.
Yeah.
The number one question I have for your listeners is, well, no, there's no question. It's more of a call to action to book Cherry Grove next August, middle of the month. Let us know your dates. Let us know where you're staying. And we're going to be there. We're going to do a show. I'm not me, but they're going to do a show.
Help us help you. And I do mean you, Carolyn.
Yeah, clearly I need help. Follow us at Dyking Out everywhere. And follow Melody Kamali if you want to see her perform in LA and in New York. Why not?
Follow Carolyn at TGI Carolyn. Stay up to date with Love's a Pitch, what she's got going on in New York.
Vacation pics.
Yes, or Capri.
It's going to be vacation pics.
Yeah.
It's going to be photos of my dad when he's not looking, and me quoting the insane stuff he's saying.
Yeah, go lurk on Carolyn's dad.
Also, please, please be sure to support us on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/dykingout. We have extra episodes, ad-free episodes, hangs, a Discord, all that stuff. This is what makes it possible for us to be doing the podcast. We know that economic times aren't ideal right now, but we're feeling that too, and we need more patrons.
It's fun there. It's just us.
It
Come
is.
Hang out with us.
Yeah, we get real loosey-goosey. Please go over there, check it out. Thank you so much for listening to this episode.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.